Everything here in this studio here, Austin, because as we were like preparing for the podcast, I just looked to my right. There's this studio. It's weird. This should have been set up as like a booth, and then like the next room should have been like a control room. Yeah. The next room is almost like a conference room.
That'd be the smart thing to do.
Yeah. Or not have a clear glass where I can see an interview, a person interviewing for a job right as we're recording. And I hope she doesn't look left. We have to now.
We've all been in that situation. The interview part, not the people staring at us from another room part.
Do we need to be like respectful now? Of like,
should we turn away from her? No direct eye contact.
Oh, it's a little weird.
She might be done.
Okay. No.
Looked like she was getting up. Okay.
Okay. Let's get into hockey talk. Woo.
I'm good with interview talk as well.
You were telling me that you are hyped for this series.
This is the most excited I've been for playoffs in general. Not just the Leafs, just in general in a while. Like, I've never really been a big guy to watch other hockey. Like, I've gotten more into it over the years. But I mostly just focus on the Leafs because we cover them and stuff like that. But, like, Vegas and LA are playing tonight. I'm all over that. I'll watch that game. That's fantastic. And then the Leafs play tomorrow. Don't the Jets play tonight? Or is it just tomorrow?
The Jets are tonight. So we're recording this on Wednesday. So they're tonight.
Fantastic.
This is Wednesday afternoon.
I forget. I just heard on the radio that Vegas and LA was playing tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be a...
That's a late game,
that should be a good series. Yeah,
it's like 9 or 10?
10 o'clock, I think. Yeah. So that should be...
Pretty good.
Very interesting series to watch.
Pretty good.
Now... Are you more excited about this series because the Leafs have set a record for franchise points in a season, Anderson broke the record, or is it the fact that they're playing the Bruins in the first round?
Playing the Bruins. The 105 points is obviously a really nice cherry on top of the season, but let's be honest here. If you follow the Leafs, you know that Bruins fans have been shoving that 2013 win in Leafs fans' face for the past 5 years. So... it's a chance for revenge. I'm not going to say the Leafs are getting their revenge. If they win a couple games, I'll feel a little bit more confident. But the Bruins have 50 wins for a reason. So,
yes, they do. I mean, some Leaf fans will point to the 3-1 record.
I would.
Yeah, you. It's
not.
It's not insignificant, but it's not,
the most solid argument.
No, it's not. That's my issue. Is
it's a decent argument.
It is
not the best one.
Yeah, it's not the best argument. The reason I say that is because I think two of those wins came early in the season.
Yeah.
Three and one. So one of those wins came early in the season.
They didn't have the offensive dynamo that was Noel Acciari on their team yet.
That's true.
That's why I don't get the argument. It's like that's the thing. They went 3-1, but the Bruins weren't this good at the beginning of the season. It's like they weren't bad either. They weren't the Coyotes or the Sabres when they started the year. This wasn't some Cavaliers trade deadline turnaround. They've been who they've been, minus having Rick Nash at the deadline. They're the same Bruins the Leafs faced in the first part of the season. They just weren't playing the way they were. But it's the same players.
Yep. Same players.
Almost the same players on both sides. The Leafs didn't have Kapanen and
Rick Nash is back.
Rick Nash is back for game one, yeah.
I don't know how...
I think I saw Riley Nash is sitting for... Game one.
Is he sitting
for
game one?
I think they said he's out. I think the score put it up. And who was it that's sitting out? Donato is sitting out for Nash to come back, apparently.
Which, if you're... Like, this is a very... Well, we're going to get to that later.
Ryan Donato's been really good.
I do want to get... you know what? Actually, let's get to it now, actually. Because there's the argument that the Leafs should be playing Andreas Janssen over a guy like Leo Komarov. And I think the same could be said for the Bruins and Donato. Because there's some games where Donato was, let's face it, he was a big part of the reason why
game. He was probably the reason the Bruins won. Didn't he have a hat trick or two goals?
I
don't follow the Bruins that closely, just the highlights after. I think he had a really good debut. I remember that. He scored his first goal.
Well, I got it in front of me, so
no, and I have it over here.
He has a goal. He had a goal and two assists.
It's pretty damn good.
Not bad.
It's no Austin Matthews, but it's serviceable.
Oh yeah, I mean, for a guy that they
hoping a guy can play over 10 minutes in his debut. So anything that comes after that is
especially when they just come out of college.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he's still in college.
Yeah,
he's going to Harvard still.
Yeah, I wonder how does that work?
Cause, well, I guess because Harvard's still in Boston, so they'll just what they do is I think they scratched him for one game so he can attend classes, and then they played a back to back or something along those lines, and he played the next game.
I mean, I'm not very familiar with how the whole NCAA rules work, but how does he?
I don't understand it, but it helps that he's playing for the Bruins. Definitely,
like, I thought once you were signed by a team, you're no longer
eligible.
Maybe you're not eligible to play.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably it.
That probably makes a lot more sense now that I think about it. So
he's still attending classes, but he's playing for the Bruins. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got to be, especially a Boston school that you're playing in. Imagine
especially at Harvard. Harvard.
Wow.
I think the mics are playing a little trick on me because I can hear a lot of static come back.
Harvard's wicked awesome.
Harvard.
Imagine the hype he must get on campus.
Yeah, he's probably the big man around campus.
Even though I don't think he's a very big man, but
yeah, like 5'11", 6'1". He can certainly act like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wanted you to do one thing, Austin. Where are your headphones?
Here.
Turn them down.
Turn them down.
I think you have a controller for it, because I can hear it coming back from somewhere, and I think it's your headphones that are making like this really loud. All right,
they're off.
Beautiful. Because I was just hearing this weird thing, and it was throwing me off.
Yeah, no worries.
Welcome to podcasting, folks, when a little thing can...
that ruin your day.
I give radio people a lot of credit. Maybe even the other one, too, right beside it. The other one. I think you have two, don't you?
Oh, and it's all gone.
I think. I don't know.
Oh, look at us go.
No,
oh,
but...
Turn your headphones down.
Isn't my...
We're turning all the headphones down.
I can't find my headphone controller.
It's... We might want to cut this part out.
I'm just going to unplug it. No, I'm not. No. No, no.
Just going to keep rolling?
We keep it rolling. We're not... No, I'm not about redoing the whole damn thing. So,
fair. Okay.
Okay. The Leafs. We already know it's not going to be an easy series. I think this is like a game seven type of series. Does not having home ice impact me? I mean, not just your confidence, but what you think they could do in this series?
No.
No?
Well.
I think they're a different team at home than on the road. A little bit. The one game I think that may have been, I don't know if it was an outlier, if that's just a game that they were really prepared for, was that game against Nashville.
You know what I always go back to with Leafs playoffs? If tickets weren't $800 for the worst seat in the house, how much rowdier that crowd would be. It's still pretty good. Like, the playoffs last year, don't get me wrong, were great.
We're going to get to the whole playoff tickets thing, but you're thinking...
Even Bruins tickets are
still pretty good, though.
Bruins tickets are almost $500 just to sit like in decent seats.
Yeah, I think the cheapest ticket. There were still tickets on Ticketmaster when I looked yesterday.
We were talking about this yesterday. There's $224 standing room is the best ticket you can get at the ECC for Game 3. No thanks. I'll either watch from the square or watch on my couch.
I'll talk to you. We're gonna get into the playoff.
Jumping ahead of things, but just home ice advantage doesn't matter as much to me because I don't think. The ACC is as rowdy as it could be, and that really bothers me. And it has bothered me. If we can take it to another team for a sec, I cover the Toronto Rock for Tip of the Tower, and a lot of people around the team have said, hey, what if the Toronto Rock were owned by MLSC? It's like, no, I like tickets that are $20. I don't want them to be $80 or $100 level tickets.
But look, MLSC also has the Marlies, and those tickets are cheap.
Yeah, but they also don't play at the ACC.
When they play at the ACC, they're still cheap.
Mm. It's also minor league hockey. It's not.
I know it's not. I know it's professional lacrosse, but like.
Recently,
the new Argos president, who's also the TFC president, Bill Manning, has said he's going to be lowering. I think it's individual tickets because, look, they don't have a great season ticket. Not like TFC. They don't have the 18,000. I think it's like 18,000 or close to that in TFC season seats.
Yeah.
The Argos have close to maybe 4,000.
Yeah.
So where are they going to pack the stands? They got to lower those individual ticket prices.
I know. It's just
so
$800 for a ticket.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody that has a brain cell?
All right. Since we're already talking about, let's just get into it.
Fine.
There was an article. I think it was a Toronto Star that had it.
Yeah.
That out of the public tickets. 96 were available to the public. That's misleading. And this is why.
It's only five.
No. People can get tickets We already know how scalpers do it. They have software that allows them to grab X amount of tickets scalpers. right away. It's no secret. It's the Fifth Estate. CBC did a documentary on it, and it was a fantastic one.
They do great stuff
about it. So there's that. But this is the thing: people complaining about, oh, I didn't get the tickets that were 90, like there were only 96 available to the public. But they do a bunch of pre-sales. So I think they have like the season seats. You get your chance. Then it's
that's the
then
other
you can
incentive.
Get additional tickets. I think if you're a season tickets holder, that's part of the benefit of being a season tickets holder. Then they did the Leafs Nation pre-sale. All you need to do was sign up and give your, you know, you sign up
credit
and get a promo link.
And no, you don't pay off crippling debt for the rest of your life.
Well, I try to get tickets. I told you about this. Mm-hmm. The only ticket I could get was one ticket in the obstructed section.
Like the corners?
Like in the corners. And I think it was, it was close to
I heard something starting with a two, and that's way too much if you can only see half the ice.
Well, no, you can't see the net.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, in the right spot in the obstructive view, you can kind of see the net, which you don't want to be saying.
I like what you're trying to rationalize this.
I never understood why an arena has that. It's because the suite goes out and it kind of blocks it. I just don't understand why an arena has that. Like, we complained about the Barclays Center. The fact that the ACC, which was meant for basketball and hockey, has that, it's a little
not smart.
It's not smart. But this is my issue with the whole...
issue is with the Barclays Center is that it cuts off the entire net for everyone, not just part of the net for some people that sit in that.
Yeah.
Like, anyone that sits on that balcony can't even see past the face-off circles, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think we talked about this
probably not.
Recently about the StubHub agreement with the Blue Jays.
No, we didn't touch on it on the podcast, but we have talked about it, excuse me.
But this is why I didn't have it. Like, I felt like that piece was a bit misleading about this whole ticket thing. It's because the Blue Jays realized, oh, X amount of people are buying Blue Jays tickets for home opener at face value or what Ticketmaster charges, then times it by two and making a profit.
Yeah.
The best way that StubHub can and the way they've been doing with every team in the MLB, almost every team, I think Boston's the only one that doesn't have a partnership with StubHub, is that they say, we will, if you want, we'll make a deal. Will be your official reseller, and I'll explain how that deal works because I actually looked it up. You get a piece of the action, piece of the pie. You tell any company that they can make money twice over, they're gonna do it. But this is how this is why the StubHub partnership people don't understand. I bought Blue Jays tickets off StubHub for the playoffs before.
Oh, absolutely. I did too. I did it for, we were both at the same game, I'm pretty sure. The Indians game, game five?
That I got from someone who couldn't go to the game because it was an afternoon game. He had something called work.
I'm going to compile a list of like what the cheapest seats for each team is.
Perfect.
I already know, I want to bring it up. The best team in the East, Tampa. We talked about this in our little chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the resale on a ticket in Tampa. Do you care to take a guess? Tampa Bay, 8 points better than the Leafs. Best team in the East.
Yeah, but it's also New Jersey. If that's Toronto,
it's New Jersey, but it's also game one of the playoffs for the best team in the league.
It's only the first round.
I don't think teams necessarily go by what opponent they're facing. It's just playoffs or playoffs. You're going to charge whatever you want.
No, I think...
But there is obviously...
StubHub, is it Ticketmaster you're talking about? Or is it StubHub you're talking about?
I was on StubHub, so that's resell on StubHub.
That's what people are selling it at.
Yes. Hold on. What is this?
I'll let you look at that.
Okay. These are all like cheap seats, like just whatever you can find. But yeah, it's just... Washington Capitals tickets are $50 for a 300-level seat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me look at this. So the Star put out the 96 tickets were available in the public sale. We already discussed that, okay?
So dumb.
But the reason why that was is because, as I said, the Leafs had season tickets holders, players, because players get the chance to get tickets for their families, and they pay for those tickets.
Yep.
It's not free.
Well, they have the money to pay for those tickets.
They do. Then you got staff, which I don't understand. And then fan club members, which
I'm gonna stand in the tunnel, honey. Come watch the team.
Yeah.
Like I know they work for the team and they're obligated to those, but like if you're not on the bench or something, your family doesn't.
So the Star also says 672 tickets were put on sale for game 3.
So the Capitals pre-sales. The Capitals tickets were $50. The Tampa Bay Lightning were $60. Those are the two top teams in the East. There is one ticket left. It is obstructed view, row 19, seat section 318S, seats 3 and 4 in the Air Canada Center. They are currently going on Ticketmaster for $290 Canadian. MLSC, you are a joke. These are all Ticketmaster. These are not StubHub resell. The Leafs legitimately think they can sell the worst seat in the building for $300.
Hold on. Show me that seat. Because I'm going to explain to you why it's not that price. Let me see.
Row 19.
Is it pink around it?
Probably. I don't know.
If it's a pink color around it, it's not the Leafs selling it.
It's a resale?
It's somebody who bought it and is reselling it through Ticketmaster.
Okay.
So
Ticketmaster has a resale. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Ticketmaster has a resale. Okay,
let's go off StubHub then, because it was 220. Yeah. But regardless, it's just... that. Okay. Let's be honest. That's not far off from the price the Leafs were selling it at. It's not like it was a $50
$175
ticket.
$175 was the cheapest ticket. Still a joke. You know what? But that's the price, that face value is not compared to other top quality markets where the demand for tickets is high. That's not bad. Yeah. Now I forgot to finish off my Blue Jay story.
Yeah.
So I bought these tickets off of StubHub for the playoffs. And what these scalpers do is they don't put it on just StubHub. They put it on Vivid Seat, SeatGeek, SeatGiant. Whatever ticket, second-hand ticket site. So I bought this ticket. I get a phone call from StubHub saying, your ticket was sold on another site. Your ticket's not valid. I said, okay.
Can they refund you?
So how does that work? They said, we will, because you purchased, and part of the purchase agreement is that we either get you another seat in the similar area and section for the same price that you paid, or we upgrade you.
Okay.
So that's what they do. That's the benefit of the Blue Jays. If you don't,
I have found a Leaf seat that is not resell on Ticketmaster.
Not for resell.
Not for resell. Standard ticket. $278 for obstructed view.
That was probably the ticket I was looking at.
Probably. 313s, row 16. And it's in the middle of a row, too. You're paying $278 to sit in the middle of a row where you can't see the net.
That's again, but this is the thing, and Leafs fans, you have to understand that playoff tickets, Leafs haven't been in the playoffs, they've only been in one since 2004.
The tickets are just a joke in general.
That's where they make their money, though.
Yeah, well.
Merchandise, tickets, advertisement.
Well, yeah, that's why they're the most.
But that's where every team,
I get it.
You can't compare a market like Toronto and Tampa, because you can still get tickets in Tampa. Probably on Ticketmaster.
You can still get tickets, and Tampa's the only other rink I've ever been to in the NHL. And real fans show up to those games because they're affordable tickets, and they get a good product.
But it also... Yeah, I understand that. And
But the tickets haven't changed over the course where John Pohl was one of the best players in the Leafs, or Robbie Earl was a key member of the top six.
But that's again, it's supply and demand. There's always been a demand for Leafs tickets, no matter what.
The team was terrible.
Yeah, I know. You're talking as a fan who can't, and I've been to
one preseason game since 2012.
You know what? But that's why the Leafs have such a great away crowd, road trip crowd.
Oh, I'd rather go on the road and watch the Leafs.
Like that's no. I understand you want to go watch at the AC home crowd and all that stuff, but Buffalo, not too far. Ottawa, yeah. Montreal.
We were
going
to try and go to Buffalo earlier in the year.
We were, and it just things changed. Things worked next year. Differently. Yep. I have no issue with that. And you said it there. Instead of spending the money, you can take that money, go to a bar.
You can go to. I could buy a jersey and sit on my couch for $278. I could buy a jersey, a hat,
an authentic jersey.
Go buy a six pack of beer. Not a big drinker, but you can do whatever the hell you want with it. I'm just trying to make my point here. And go sit on your couch and enjoy the game for free.
Exactly. Well, your cable subscription, whatever you pay for that.
That's at the end of the month.
Leafs, like, that's why, but then that's why the Leafs, they give away tickets, right? The Ford fan deck.
Yep.
I think that's like 200 tickets they give out throughout the playoffs or something like that.
It's pretty good.
No, they have been trying their best. But that's why they took away part of those tickets, and that's why they did Leafs Square. Because that's
trying their best. I think
they're making an effort. I'll say that. Maybe it's not their best.
That's what I was going to say. They're doing this to be like, hey, we're not complete dicks.
But this is what happens when
the only way
this is going to change, Austin, is if the demand
is if goes they get down. Worse. We already know it's not going to happen. They have a bunch of corporate sponsors, and I understand the situation. It's frustrating as a fan that you can't go and see your team for a reasonable price. When I was younger, I went to like 20, 30 Jays games a season. Easy. I've been to a couple Raptors games. Easy.
Raptors tickets have gotten expensive too. Wait until you see those prices.
I'm not surprised at all. We got to go to a Marlies playoff game. That's
Grundstrom. I was going to say Grundstrom's in town back. Now.
Janssen will probably go down.
Well, we'll get to that.
Not a chance.
I think he'll be.
I think if they're smart and they know they're not going to use him, he should go down.
Oh, look, it's a new person doing an interview now.
Good luck.
I just noticed. Good luck. We're rooting for you. Just don't look at us because don't distract her.
I wasn't clapping loud. I can get louder than that.
Oh, I know. It'd be worse if you just tap on this glass.
Just smack the glass.
That would
scar her.
Yeah. Look, I sympathize as myself as a Leafs fan. If you really, really want to go a game, you know the cost.
Oh yeah,
you know the cost.
I'm not like this. It's not
impossible. I will say it's not impossible to get tickets. It's just not convenient or not feasible for everybody. And that's unfortunate. I'd rather
pay $10 for a Marlies ticket. I went to one playoff game last year, and we met up with our buddy Jose. Was there? I paid resale. I paid I think $12 or $14 for two tickets in the Platinums, five rows off the ice.
And it's great hockey.
It was a triple OT game that the Marlies won. It was Justin Hall when he won it with the wrister.
Okay.
I was there until 12 a.m. It's the best hockey game I've ever seen.
And it's a good crowd.
Yeah, fantastic. There's like the people that go to the Marlies games are lifelong Marlies fans.
Yeah.
They've been there since 2006.
And Maple Leaf Square, the atmosphere is very comparable to inside. Yep. In terms of the fan excitement. The crowd gets rowdy. Crowd gets rowdy.
As long as there's bodies in there. That's the problem, is you never know how many people are going to show in a game.
It was
pretty good for the playoffs.
Maple Leaf Square is usually packed.
Oh, no. I'm the Marlies game. I mean, Maple Leaf Square is jammed all the time.
Marlies games have been pretty... They've gotten better.
They were packed back when the Leafs weren't making the playoffs, though, because everyone sort of knew when the Leafs didn't make it, you could just go to Marlies games for cheap.
Yeah.
But now you want to stay home and watch the Leafs play.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on to... the actual game itself.
But yeah, we do need to go to a Marlies postseason.
We will work on
I'll
that.
I'll find a day.
Yeah. Trying to find a day is always tough. So if you're looking at this matchup, let's start with I'm going to have play devil's advocate. We can't just be positively fans thinking that everything's going to go their way because we know it's not. Where do you see the
Leafs are going to win in three. No, they are not.
What's their biggest challenge?
Because
a lot of analysts are writing off the Leafs entirely. A lot of them are picking the Bruins to go to the finals.
I'm seeing a lot of Bruins in five,
which I don't understand.
Get out of here! If the Bruins win in five, the Leafs have fallen off a cliff. Like it's the 16 or the 18 wheeler going off a cliff.
Compare last year's Leafs playoff roster to this year's.
I'll take this year's every time.
You don't have
Marlo?
You don't have Marincin.
No.
Carrick.
He's still got Pollock.
Is not in there. Pollock was not terrible.
He's not bad. He's just.
He's going to be. He will have some value in this series because
he's not bad. He's not good. He's just Pollock. He's straight in the middle.
He's your third pairing defenseman.
He's not going to cost you games, but he's also not going to win you games.
Insert Dermott.
Like it.
Insert Marlo.
He was the game I went to, the Marlies game, he scored in that. So he's. He's good in the playoffs, man.
And he looked real good. A fourth line center. I mean, Boyle was there last year.
Yeah.
except for games one and two, he was good.
That's going to be the big thing to me is the Bruins are going to clamp down on those three lines. The fourth line is going to be a big question mark because Plekanec
hasn't... I think Babcock will try his best to make that a matchup lineup if he can.
Plekanec hasn't been consistent. I think he only had his first primary assist with the team like maybe the last five games.
I say watch it against the Bruins. He knows how to play the Bruins.
No. I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm just...
No, he's...
He needs to just be more consistent. He doesn't need to... I'm not saying he needs to put up two assists a game.
No.
He just needs to...
He needs to not just look like a player skating on the ice, just taking a skate.
He just sort of looks like he's on the ice. He doesn't look like he's in dangerous at any point. He makes some good defensive plays. He kills penalties. Komarov can't seem to figure out what the back of the net looks like anymore.
I mean, I don't expect him to score. I never expected him to ever go back to that all-star pace that he had.
That was an anomaly of a season.
What I think is, I find Komarov, almost like Plekanec, looks invisible at times.
Didn't he miss another open net like two games ago?
I think so. Well, he is coming off an injury.
He's invisible until he misses a wide open net, and then everyone gets on him.
He was coming off an injury. He wasn't. I guarantee he's not at his
100%. He looked better the last game of the season.
Yeah.
He looked not... He wasn't, like, dangerous scoring, like, all-star season Komarov, but he was Leo. He was in the corner. He was hitting people.
Digging,
getting pestered under people's skin.
Yeah. That's what Kapanen is going to have to carry that line a bit
Kapanen, more. That's the other thing about the Leafs, is they've got more speed, and they were already fast to begin with last year.
Well, Kapanen was there last season, but year more experienced.
Yeah, exactly. It's a more experienced Kapanen with the wheels he already had last year.
Yeah.
A Kapanen that played over half the season in the NHL, or at least a good portion of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That experience is going to pay off big time because he scored two goals, and that the one game the fourth line won was a game two against Washington. Kapanen scored the OT winner.
That was game two.
He scored the first goal of the game, didn't he? Or he scored that tap-in front of the net.
That was OT.
Yeah, so if the fourth line got the Leafs two goals in that game, that basically won them the game. So... I don't think the fourth line is going to win the Leafs games, but they're certainly not going to take the Leafs out of games. That's the most important thing is you can't...
They can easily beat the Bruins fourth line. That's what we're saying.
There's a lot more veteran savvy. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of Bruins players that are going into their first NHL playoffs.
There are, but there are also some players who have been
especially
there
that fourth line. I don't think any of them played last year in the Bruins.
Don't think so. The Bruins defense. This is where I want to get to next. This is not the same Bruins defense.
Not the same as that's the difference is everyone's sort of expecting this clash like 2013. These are way different teams in 2013. You take out
Chara and McAvoy are going to be the beast.
Was Krug on the team the last time in 2013? I don't think so.
I think he was.
Maybe it was his rookie year. They don't have Seidenberg anymore. They don't have Boychuk. They've got Matt Greslick, I believe, is their third line pair with Adam McQuaid. That could be exposed very easily by the Leafs.
Adam McQuaid,
Adam McQuaid is not the old Adam McQuaid. He's not as quick.
But he's gonna punish players along the board.
That's the key to this series. The Leafs need to skate the Bruins into the ground because they are quicker than the Bruins. That's the one thing you cannot deny about this Leafs team.
Yeah.
If they get on their wheels, they're gonna skate circles around the Bruins. But if they get into these Mike Babcock prevent and play conservative offense, this dump and chase BS that they tried. Remember that stretch where they like could barely score in the middle of the season because they were just dumping chasing all the time? If they do that, the Bruins are going to run them out of the building every night.
So,
because the Bruins have big enough bodies that they can play that down low dump and chase crap game. The Leafs can't get into the Bruins game.
Krug was there in the 2012-2013 season.
They also have Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah.
Charlie McAvoy is what the kids would call a stud.
He's been... A big reason why they haven't taken as far of a dip. Things were not looking good when they fired Julianne, and then you insert McAvoy, you know, Bergeron takes that step up, Marchand is revitalized.
Do you think Zdeno Chara gets that extension if Charlie McAvoy is not playing with him this season? I think he gets an extension. I don't think he gets a 2-year deal.
I don't think he gets 2 years. But at the same time,
Charlie McAvoy is really shade the fact that Chara's getting older and he's not as quick and he's not as effective as he used to be.
That's true.
He's still effective. He's still, I mean, he's 6'9". You're not going to miss him when he's out on the ice, but he's not, again, he's not the same Chara that we saw in 2013.
No, but his role is mainly going to be, you see JVR, you push him out of the crease.
Yeah.
That's going to be his role. That's going to be
and he's also going to be standing in front of the net a good amount in the series.
In the
Leafs net, yeah.
So I'm going to... This is
that was one of the things they did in 2013 when they had the comeback, because they parked Chara in front of the net and they scored a couple goals off of it.
So you want to know what's going to be, I think, what's going to be the key for the Leafs to beat the Bruins. Hockey Reference, got to love them.
Roman Polak's shots that go 10 feet wide and hit the ref and go in.
That could also work. The Bruins.
We just need six of those a game.
I don't think I've ever seen a team play so differently with the lead than when they're trailing. The Bruins,
they're always trailing.
The Bruins, when they are leading after the first period, are 24-1-3. When they're leading after the second period, they're 33-0-4. So that, when they have a lead, they're not giving it up.
No.
I mean,
that's good. That's exactly what you want to see. It's not like last year's Leafs where it's a complete fire drill for two periods after.
Yeah, I'm talking about this is what the Bruins do.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not like the Leafs last year where you're just worried about whether you could scrape out a win in OT.
Now, I'm going to go.
Are solid.
This is, again, devil's advocate. When they are trailing after the first period, 7-14-5. When trailing after the two periods, 6-17-5. So,
wow.
Two totally
That's
different
That's honestly
teams.
Really surprising, because I would have sworn that every game they won over the last month and a half was a goal they scored in the last 10 seconds of the third period.
Maybe
scored an OT.
Maybe that's where it got better for them.
maybe that's all the wins they had when they were winning after two periods.
Also, doesn't help when the Carolina Hurricanes just have a complete implosion in the third period. Yeah, one of those games, too. That would be pretty bad. That was worse. That was like...
That Carolina is in that weird position where they, like, I'm pretty sure I ran the lottery to do our mock draft that I posted or I submitted. And Carolina, I think, is picking in either one pick before or the same pick they picked last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing changed in the lottery simulator I did.
Yep.
And it's like they're right in that middle ground where they're, like, they're not terrible.
Yeah.
But they're also not getting better. They're just in that middle spot. Okay. You're just sort of stuck in purgatory in the middle of the lottery.
Okay, so you want to know, while I have this up, do you want to know what the Leafs' record's like when they're leading after the first period?
I would love it.
31-5-1.
After one?
After the first period.
Okay.
When they are leading after two periods, 31-3-2. You want to know what it's like when they are trailing?
Decent.
Oh, boy. No.
I know.
4-15-1 when trailing after the first.
Yikes.
5-20-2 when trailing after two.
Score the first goal and hope it's 1-0 through two periods.
Now, this is their record when...
They did a good job of that with Washington last year.
This
they jumped
be,
on them.
This will most likely be the key for them. When they're outshot by their opponent, they are 29-13-3.
Yeah,
when they outshoot their opponent,
Freddie stands on his head.
When they outshoot their opponent,
they're like 1-15.
16-11-4.
Oh, okay, they're still winning. That's good.
And then in one goal games, they're 13-6.
It's a positive record and everything on the bright side. Yeah, this is what I was saying. The thing they did well in Washington is they knew they were the underdogs in the series, so they just went and jumped all over Washington in the first period. They ended up getting the first goal or two in the first two games, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto was a different story. They went down 2-0 in both of those games.
Yeah.
At the beginning, but you got to get on the Bruins in their own barn. That TD Garden's going to be rocking.
It will be. If the Bruins get, especially on
that,
the power
play.
That's
not a crowd to screw around with.
No.
Because Boston is like Philly. They will get right on top of you. You could probably hear Jack Edwards from the bench. With his crazy, that game against Carolina, he threw his voice out. He was cracking so many times.
Yeah.
That guy is loud. I still have that overtime call stuck in my head, and that's probably why I'm happy they're facing the Bruins, because it's just like, Jack Edwards is a great broadcaster, but screw off Jack Edwards.
So I think that's what screwed them, that one game where they got absolutely buried in Boston 4-1. is that they let in, I think, what, two goals terribly early, and they just never recovered. So they cannot. Okay, let's say the Bruins get one goal. We know the Leafs can probably come back. They can't let the Bruins get two easy goals early, because then they just turn their game around.
Yeah, you.
They you suffocate just, the they'll suffocate the Leafs in that regard.
The key to this series is it's obvious. Don't let Marchand and Bergeron and Pasternak just shell you.
No,
they're going to get their goals.
They will.
You're not going to shut down that line. So throw that out the window. It's not happening. What you cannot do is you cannot let them score three or four goals a game and have all the Bruins offense. Because when they're hot, they're the best line in hockey.
Like, I looked at matchups to watch in this series, and like Matthews only played against Bergeron once this season.
Yeah, was it Kadri playing against Bergeron or both?
Kadri has played. I found this interesting.
I guess Kadri, because they're the shutdown.
Natural Statric was really good at helping me like look at these matchups.
What am I thinking? Bozak against the first line, they'd score five goals a game.
This is interesting. So Kadri has played against no other player more than Patrice Bergeron. Over 40 minutes, and that's in what, four games? So
just over the season?
Over the season.
Okay.
He has played more against Bergeron than any other player. I mean, goalies excluded. Barkov was second on that list. I think if I'm Babcock, I don't want that.
You're not winning a lot
of games regardless. I don't want Kadri's line to only have to worry about shutting down Bergeron's line. That's why you are so adamant on having Komarov and Plekanec. They need to help with that. And
you're not going to see the fourth line play the first.
Bergeron
line
doesn't like Marchand. Sorry, it was Marchand who doesn't like playing against Plekanec. Knowing that psychological advantage that could have
that turtleneck is scary in the postseason.
Definitely. That's going to be key. You were talking about the Bozak line. James Van Riemsdyk owns the Daniel Chara in possession.
Yeah.
Not just on the power play, but a 5-on-5.
You're going to see Chara plastered to Matthews.
I think that line can be very underrated in this series, because they are going to be the offensive hounds.
If Bozak can hit an open net, they'll be good. But Bozak hasn't done a lot of that.
That's what JVR is for.
And that's the thing, is you need, in the playoffs, you can't just hope that one guy's going to carry you. That's what the Leafs did in the last series against Kessel, and he just happened to have a good series.
Yep.
But
okay, especially when he wasn't having a good career against the Bruins as a Leaf.
Again, I keep going back to, this isn't the same team, and it's not the same situation where the Leafs have four or five guys that they can rely on to put the puck in.
Yeah.
But if you're throwing JVR's line out and JVR is the only guy producing, it's not like you're the only people that know that.
No.
The other team's going to just throw their top guy and have him shadow
JVR. It's also going to have to come from the blue line, too. Like, they made a big thing about Riley and Gardner having over 50 points this season. Guess what? In the playoffs, it didn't help that in one game in the playoffs, they were down to four defensemen.
Let's be honest here. If you're a playoff team, nobody gives a damn if you're a 50-point player on defense.
It's clean slate.
What have you done for me lately? Show it in the playoffs.
It's a clean slate. That blue line doesn't have to be terrific. It just needs to. It can't get totally shelled.
The one pair I am worried about, and I think it's a pair, is Gardner and Zaitsev ever playing together, right?
Yeah,
they are going to have a rough go with the Bruins coming down on them. The Bruins
know that pairing is vulnerable to contact. Once you're physical with them,
Zaitsev not as much, but Gardner.
Zaitsev has taken some beatings against the Bruins.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
I made a hype video.
Yep.
And I was looking for hits. First off, the Leafs don't hit a lot.
No, like, that's
not worthy.
Matt Martin missed half the season. I hate to break
video,
to you.
Not video worthy.
There was a Matt Martin hit in there against the Bruins.
It was more of a collision than a hit. I don't even know if you really meant it. But there was
the same
one
thing I said about Marchand and Duclair.
Yeah.
Collision.
But Zaitsev had he got buried by one. I can't remember who it was that buried him. So
Tim Corrali? I'm listing off random players that I can remember on the Bruins.
I'd have to look it up. But that's something that the Leafs are going to have to try to minimize, is the amount of wear and tear that line gets, or that pairing gets. Riley, I think, is going to be... This is where he stepped up big last season. He doesn't have Matt Hunwick as his defense partner.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Hainsey was really good for the Penguins last season. People forget.
Now, he wasn't very good at clearing pucks, so that's
no.
That's the thing I'm worried about with the Leafs defense is they need to just get the puck out.
Yeah.
You can't give the Bruins second chances.
And don't let the Bruins get a lot of power play opportunities because you don't want to see Hainsey out there for 6 minutes a night.
If Ron Hainsey has to play 5-6 minutes a night on the penalty kill, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially, you don't want that.
And the Bruins, let's be honest, they're not going to let the Leafs have that much time on the penalty kill because those penalty kills are going to be done early. They have shooters. Yep. Pasternak can shoot. Marchand can shoot. Bergeron
can shoot. Like, and then you also have, Bacchus, you've got Rick Nash.
Krejci,
Mr. Playoff performer.
Yep.
Guy could have 10 points in a season like Komarov, and he comes out and scores 10 goals in a series or some stupid thing.
Very true.
The guy's unreal in the playoffs. So, like, there's scary aspects to the Bruins, but the first line is what you have to watch.
What do you think about the goaltending matchup?
I like it.
Tuukka Rask is good in the playoffs.
He's been shaky against the Leafs, I think.
He had. Well,
recently in the regular season. In that playoff series, he was good.
He was. I'm just a little concerned. Like, Rask, the last game, there was a goaltender interference call that went the Leafs' way, and they won that last game they played against them in February. Leafs are not going to get the benefit of calls like that all the time. So
they haven't gotten the benefit of the calls most of the time.
No, it's true. And they also played Khudobin as
Khudobin.
Well.
Khudobin played one half of that back-to-back that they won the first two games.
Yeah. So
I think it was the one in Toronto. They won an OT, I believe.
An OT. And it's not 3-on-3 OT either. Let's not forget. That's where the
I don't.
So
they won't let us forget in Boston that it was 5-on-5.
No, that's very true.
They also, the Leafs don't have James Reimer in net. Let's remember that.
That is true. Steady Freddy, they call him.
He is steady. And he is named Fred.
Yes. I'm not saying I was concerned about how he played the last little bit going into the playoffs. There were some other reporters at a network that I don't work for who always seem to, and Sportsnet does it too, of pointing out that Frederik Andersen wasn't his best in the last little bit of the season. And I just go, this is a way better situation than last season where he was injured going into the playoffs. We also forget Zaitsev was injured going into the playoffs. Polak was injured in the playoffs. So I'm not as concerned. I mean, Freddie can have some shaky moments.
How nice is it going to be to not have Marinchin throwing grenades through the middle of the ice?
That will help. That will definitely help.
Apparently, Marinchin was on the ice with the Leafs, though. I think I saw Shelton tweet there. Not Shelton. Somebody with the Leafs.
Don't ruin my day, please. I didn't see that.
It might have been just somebody making a joke. I didn't really look too much
I hope it's a joke.
It didn't
joke.
Look like Marinchin. That's what confused me.
I'm
Are
of the
you
belief,
checking Twitter to verify?
I am checking this right now because this
He's
this,
not going to play.
You know
what
when
a slap in the face to Connor Carrick.
You know when like you get like that chill down your spine?
That's called, you got a case of the Marinchins. That's what that's called. Yeah, no, that would be such a slap in the face to Connor Carrick. If you keep him around.
I see none of that.
And so. Then use Martin Marinchin, who, let's be honest, he's not good enough to play in the NHL.
He's a good AHL producer.
Yeah, like Connor Carrick's a fringe NHL. Martin Marinchin's just not good enough.
Carrick was a good AHL player, but I don't know. So I'm of the belief that, okay, yes, not trailing the Bruins in a game is going to be big, but Andersen is going to have to get rid of some of those shaky goals, the ones that could be really bad, like that can break your back.
Let's not disillusion ourselves either. They're not just going to lead for the entire series.
No.
There's going to be moments where you got to dig in and get a goal.
Goals are going to be hard to come by.
Goals. You're not running away with the series. The better team is not the Leafs, standings-wise.
No.
It's hard to say who the better team is because the Leafs won the regular season battle. Again, we go back to that argument.
But I think the season was more of a, it was like different swing. It was like swing of momentum at different points. You could say the Leafs were one of the best teams to start. I mean, standing wise, they were one of the best teams. Whether their play suggested it, probably not. And the Bruins were terrible out of the start. And then Bruins went on a run.
Yep.
The Leafs couldn't score.
The Leafs didn't.
And then it kind of evened out near the end. So
yeah, and Marchand scored like all the overtime goals. So it's an overtime. Just put all five guys on Marchand.
Oh, but again, it won't be 3-on-3 either.
No, that's what I mean. Just put all five guys on Marchand. Even Anderson. Just create a barrier around him.
Yeah.
Tape Martin Marinch into the post. He'll be useful for something.
Potentially.
He'd be like a shooter tutor.
Okay. Because we're almost... I didn't want to make this one too long because this will be coming out on a Thursday morning. People are in playoff mode.
Yeah.
I want your... I've already given my prediction. So, as Austin knows, I was on another podcast on... Well, I went out yesterday.
Yeah.
We recorded yesterday the Mickey Mike podcast. Mickey Mike Show, Mickey Mike Podcast. Wow, that's bad of me for not even knowing the proper
name. Way to be on brand there.
I've already given my playoff predictions throughout the whole playoffs. I'll put a link to that podcast.
Do you have a bracket or anything going?
I did, and I kind of messed it up on the podcast. I
should probably make a bracket.
Because
my bracket was busted by Nashville in the first round last year.
Yeah.
I thought Chicago was going to win in seven.
I just wanted to know, because I don't want to get into whole playoffs. Okay, I'll ask you two things.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for the series? And who is your cup final? I don't want to know who. You can tell me who wins the cup, but who wins this series? And what's your cup final? And you can give me a result if you want.
This series. It is a Leaf podcast. It's hard.
You can go the other way.
I'm not picking the Bruins. It's just sort of like on the spot. It's like you sort of have to weigh all the options.
You do.
Wouldn't it be nice for the Leafs to win in seven?
That's what I have them doing.
That's what I
think.
Six
or seven is my call.
Leafs in three. Leafs in two. Leafs in one.
That's
Boston's going to be run out of the building. It's going to be an 8-0
opener. Wait until you see if the Leafs get crushed in the first game.
Bruins in five.
How many media members will be like, Bruins in three? Or even if the Leafs run the Bruins out of the building in the first game.
Bruins in
Leafs,
five.
Leafs in three or something like that. It's happened before. It always happens.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Stop duck. So you got the Leafs in seven?
Leafs in seven. Yeah, let's go with that. Okay. I'd say Leafs in six, but the Bruins are going to put up way too much of a fight.
Yeah.
I think it goes seven, regardless of which team wins it.
Your cup final?
Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's go Winnipeg.
Ooh, the pegger. They can get past Nashville?
I like the peg, except when they play the Leafs. I'm a big Patrick Laine fan. I know that's probably sacrilegious in Toronto because there's... some big battle brewing.
If Austin is not on the next podcast, you'll know why. Listen back to this.
Let me preface this with, his facial hair is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. He is the oddest looking individual in the league.
Yeah. Oh, we're dying again.
Ah!
Oh, is that beeping noise? That's okay. That's somebody who set up a bomb once
guys.
They heard that line A you picked.
That's the line A alarm.
Okay,
they're a good team, man.
Tampa, Winnipeg are your cup final pick?
Yeah, Winnipeg or Nashville. I think Nashville will make it to the conference final, and I think Winnipeg will edge them. Even though Rene's good.
No, they won't. It'll be second round Winnipeg.
Oh, Nashville. Right, Central.
Dumb divisional.
Oh, boy, I didn't even think of that.
That's why I thought of it.
Who's even in it from the Pacific? I don't think Vegas is going to make it that far.
It's L.A., Vegas, Anaheim, San Jose.
If Vegas makes it to the conference finals, that would be massive. But I would love to be wrong. If Vegas makes it to the cup final, that'd be awesome.
I would. You know what? That's the only reason why I want Vegas to move on is I just want to see how that city is during the playoffs, especially deep.
Well, you'll see tonight.
But I just don't see Vegas beating a team like L.A. with that veteran presence.
I do for sure.
Okay.
I don't know. If you want to go through all the playoff matchups, we can do that.
No, because I did a whole hour and 45-minute show on
fair
that.
Enough.
I'll just give you my prediction was Predators-Leafs final.
Oh, that's...
And this is not me being a homer because I know Tampa Bay's good. I know there's Pittsburgh.
We're all going to be wrong when Pittsburgh makes the finals again with Crosby playing with a broomstick and a stick of gum. On his wing, and they're both.
I actually think Pittsburgh's going to lose in the second round to Washington. And that's also just me trying to be bold with my picks.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. It's maybe Washington doesn't make it out of the first round. They need a good goalie performance because Grubauer is starting for them.
Yes, that's true.
It's not even Holtby. So they need somebody to step up.
Okay. I'll get the rest of your predictions after.
Make a bracket.
You can make a bracket, and you can if you make a bracket today, I can throw it up on the the post. Any last thoughts? I would say this: if you are listening to this podcast, it is going to go up Thursday morning. My recommendation for playoffs: if you're not going to the game.
No, we've made that very clear.
I will not be going to any games. I'm going to caution you on Maple Leaf Square. I went for game 3 last year. I couldn't feel my toes at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'm not going.
This is not spring weather. Even though it's supposed to be warmer tomorrow, it's going to rain. If you really look at the weather forecast, because they will cancel if the weather's not good. Potentially, if it have to be really bad.
I'm submitting my bracket now.
Okay, wow, that was quick.
I had to figure out my sign-in info, otherwise it would have been quicker.
Yeah, so watch out for that. Real Sports is probably a great place for atmosphere. Getting in is going to be tough.
I might call about like game 2 or game 3, like one of the ones in Toronto. I feel like getting in there for at least one game would be nice.
Now, I always say any bar downtown is going to be great. Hoops, they're not sponsoring us.
So Rec Room or...
Rec Room is going to be pretty good for that. That
would be fun. And you could do
our Jackassers at St. Lawrence Market. I did that in 2013.
That was a really nice
restaurant to go to. There's The Pint, I think.
I have not been there yet.
That's maybe a new place.
Tomorrow?
Boston Pizza, right across from the Rogers Center. They have the big screens there. A place that has a big screen, that's where you want to go.
Yep.
A place that's going to play the game sound.
St. Louis is also a really good place for that.
St. Louis is good.
There's one right by the dome as well.
Austin and I will make our plans for tomorrow. Don't worry. But I always say, because this is a fan-sided podcast, you can drink
responsibly.
You can do it at home. Firstly. You can do it at home. Invite some buddies over, watch the game there. Just be responsible. Be safe. Most of all, make sure that you are wearing your jersey.
I will be.
And I'll say I think this time around I'm more looking at what they're gonna do in this round. I'm obviously excited to see playoff hockey.
Oh God, what have I done?
But I gotta turn your mic
off. Oh God.
But
I'm making my bracket. Shut it.
I'm excited for what can happen for the Leafs.
I clicked a team and then ended up clicking them in the next round, and it like advanced them all the way to the finals when I didn't want them to.
Great job.
Yeah.
I'm like Austin. I'm almost waiting to see about how this goes.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any bold predictions. This is wait till
I've already made my bold predictions.
You wait till game 2 or 3 before you decide whether or not the series.
People are going to get on me about that Leafs Predators final, but I will own it. Whether they win or lose, I will own it. So enjoy the game. We will be back again next week. I do want to get into TFC is on to the Champions League final for CONCACAF.
Woo.
That is going to go up next. That's going to be next Tuesday.
That's massive.
Nick McAdam has been a stud for us on all of our TFC articles this season. So he broke down the last win. We'll have something up on their, I think it's from Venezuela, I believe is the...
Chivas,
I think that's where they're from.
Look it up.
I kind of was hoping it would be a New York Red Bulls final because then it would be at a half-decent time.
Yeah, they Guadalajara won on...
Guadalajara, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mexican professional football clubs. And guess what, guys? The Blue Jays are not as bad as we think they are. Richard couldn't make it today because he had work.
We have Captain Baseball, Richard Lee Sam, needs to come in and tell us otherwise, or if that's
true. I'm gonna get on Richard about his Aaron Sanchez take and how I think he jinxed yesterday's potential bid for a no-hitter.
I think I did a little bit too. So
everybody did. Everybody jinxed that.
SportsCenter did as well. Did you see
that?
Do
you quickly want to do that? We have. I wanted to get this under an hour. Quick minute on this. What the hell is wrong with people?
SportsCenter did it first. Do you see somebody made like a string of they broke Ohtani's.
They broke Ohtani's.
They broke
perfect,
Sanchez.
I mean, Ohtani was a perfect game.
Let's be honest here. No hitter is not easy.
No, it's not.
So it's not. It's like when people get on it you forget for talking
eight
about
innings,
shutouts.
You're like, oh, this could be possible. And if you forget, Richard predicted that Sanchez would throw a no hitter this season. So he's probably like kicking himself because that was probably his best chance to get
one.
He
was super excited. It's like when people start saying shootout or shutout. Sorry,
yeah.
Shootout.
Sportsnet.
Nobody says shootout. That's a bad idea.
Sportsnet did that to the Leafs once.
Could you imagine if the playoffs had shutouts? Shutouts. Jesus, I am all over.
Okay, I think this is a good place to.
No, but it's just like, whatever. It's a difficult game to play, and like I said to you, I was in attendance. It was like 2007, 2006-ish, mm-hmm. when Dustin McGowan had his no-hitter through eight innings.
Yeah.
And then I think it was a double in the ninth. I forget. It was on dog day. That's what
yeah,
I
remember that game, dog. Actually. Dustin McGowan was actually a half-decent pitcher
when
he was healthy.
Pitched a gem. That was a great game. It was against the Rockies, too.
Yeah.
So, shout out Tulo, who we still won't see for another month.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's good for Sanchez. Roberto Osuna's that's a huge again. Story. Yeah, 100 saves. That's
three massive. Pitches it took to get that save.
He's pretty good. And also Marcus Stroman. All kinds of petty, only shouting out Osuna on Twitter and not Sanchez.
Oh, I'm not getting into that one.
I'm not going to get into it either.
We'll get into it on the next podcast.
Yeah.
Austin, how is the Twitter following going?
It's staying steady.
Okay, so.
You want me to check the actual number? It's probably not changed much.
Underscore Austin Owens on Twitter if you want to follow him.
Sweet.
Try to help
if
get
not,
those
that's
follows
cool too.
Up.
It's no worries.
I'm going to be trying. Depending on what we're doing. Austin, yay or nay, yes or no on having a laptop if you're going to watch a Leaf playoff game?
What do you mean?
Because I'm thinking about doing GIFs or GIFs.
Oh, I was thinking about doing it too.
That would mean having my laptop at wherever we go.
Oh, I don't care. You do whatever you want.
We would have to have Wi-Fi. That's why that what we
I did it at the draft when we were putting up a Lilligren.
That was at Real Sports, but that was like we were working / doing stuff.
/ eating food. So. One more thing, because we were talking about the Marlies a bit. Garrett Sparks has been awarded the top goaltender in the AHL.
Awesome. I guess I'll let you do a post on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easy
over there. Interview people.
Interview people are just
knocking over drinks.
Knocking over. That was my headphones.
Damn it.
And you can follow me on Twitter, D_Morisuti. Follow all of our content on Tip of the Tower. We've already got a lot of Leaf stuff up the last couple days previewing the playoffs. I will have a key to Leafs beating the Bruins in the playoffs. We already went through some of them, but I will go more in depth on those.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
Interview number three starting.
Interview number three. Oh, poor person actually looked over.
We've made eye contact.
She made eye contact. This is going to really throw her off.
It's awkward now.
It is a little awkward now. Actually, she was waiting outside for this interview.
I was trying to do this very quietly. So
yeah. All right. Take care. Enjoy. I guess by the time we do the next one, it won't be until next week. So enjoy the first couple games of the series and enjoy the playoffs, guys.